though, then it is our obligation, of course, to try to figure out what is happening. Are the pictures real? Because there are many UFO photos taken around the world which are not real. In Audrey Ains' case, the majority of his pictures are Polaroids, so the analysis is really quite simple. There's no extra negative to deal with. In many cases, though, he has taken some pictures with a 35mm camera. His photos, unfortunately, have been taken over a several-year period, and he has not chronicled them very well. We have no notes as to actual time and date and location where many of these photos were taken. Audrey was not planning on being a contactee, since he feels that he is here mostly for his own personal growth and experience. So he hasn't done that too well up to now. However, in the future, we hope that that may become more of a reality. We have some negatives of some of the photos, three negatives to be exact. The picture you're looking at right now is one of the photos we have an original 35mm negative of. Preliminary investigation of the negative has shown nothing unusual. Edge enhancement testing has been done. They've tested for film grain, tested for overlapping, blue screening techniques, and other things that might show up on the negative. And nothing has been found to show any evidence of a fraud at all. As a matter of fact, just the opposite. By scanning the original negative, it shows things that we cannot see here in the normal print with our eyes. It's very revealing as to how the energy and the heat off of the craft is ionized the air in different colors. Here's a nice close-up shot of the craft that you can see here. Again, this is a Pleiadian beam ship type. It's 21 feet in diameter. You can see that it's surrounded somewhat by the clouds. The Pleiadians don't want us to know too much about the technology of how these crafts fly. They have said on many times before that they are aware that our technical advances far outweigh our social development, and they're not really interested in helping us out in these areas. They're far more concerned in trying to help us out in our social development. The ships, however, do have two propulsion-type systems that they have told us about. Normally, the normal craft, in its normal material state as we're looking at it here, has a light-emitting system by which they convert matter into energy. It's called a beam ship because of that, because of the use of the light. Now, by doing this, the craft is capable of accelerating the speeds well beyond the speed of light. In order to do that, the ship and all of its passengers must be protected by force fields around the craft. This next picture here is most unusual. It's a picture of Audrey Ains' patio. He has lowered the camera down approximately about the knee high here and taken the picture through the bars on the patio, and you can just barely make out there are four or five crafts floating out there in the background. This patio is where he commonly receives transmissions from his Pleiadian friends. Here I've taken a picture of one of his copies. Audrey quite often will take a Polaroid and go to a copy place and make a paper copy of it or blow it up, and that's what I've taken a picture of here. The patio, you might say, is his education area. It's very common for him to grab a clipboard and some paper, whatever, and stand out on the patio. And the Pleiadians, if they're in the area, they will be able to transmit ideas and visions to him. Then occasionally, they'll allow a photo to be taken. It's quite common also for his girlfriend to take the picture while he's listening to the transmissions. Here, she's managed to snap a shot just as there are six craft beginning to materialize out in the distance. And you can see that they are all in various stages of materializing there. On the far left, the first three crafts appear to be fully materialized, while the three on the right side are in various stages of it. He says this is common, that when the crafts power up the field to make themselves invisible, they don't all go out at the same time. They seem to go out in some sort of a series, and they reappear much in the same manner. Now, again, the camera's been lowered down close to the bars on the patio. And we can see a very good shot here of three of the Pleiadian craft very close to the home. There are two different types of variations in view here. The first two craft on the right are the newer crafts that have time travel capabilities, and the craft on the left is the older beam ship type, which is interdimensional but does not have time travel capabilities. Out on his patio, when he receives these ideas, most commonly what he receives are visions, a stream of thoughts, a stream of pictures that come into his mind. He then has to translate these visions and ideas and write them down. And then later, through telepathic or even physical contacts, the Pleiadians will help him clear up his translations to make sure that he has understood everything properly. I've been there with him when this has happened, when he receives thoughts and ideas. And I've witnessed the situation myself. Here's a very good shot of the craft, again, from the patio. And it looks to be only probably 100, 150 feet from the patio itself. The fascinating part is, here it is in broad daylight again, and no one can see the craft, actually, but him.
Down there.
Again, as we understand it, they power the field up around the craft. They can control the line of vision and who is able to see the ship and who is not able to see it. I believe that many of the people in Adrien's meditation group are beginning to see the craft and benefit from the exercises that he's given them. Once someone learns meditation and learns how to clear their mind and to shut down all their material senses, this allows them, of course, to shut down all the emotions and so forth which control us. And then we can see things more clearly. Once visions and ideas then are sent to us by the Pleiadians in vision form, we can then experience those things and have the full emotional impact. You see, it's one thing for us to read a book, go to a movie, or watch a video, something like this, but then it's not your own experience. If you can have actual mental contact with the extraterrestrials and receive the information yourself, then it's your own experience. See, once an experience becomes part of you and begins to dictate your day-to-day actions, it becomes the wisdom that contributes to your own spiritual growth. And that travels forward with you from lifetime to lifetime. On my last trip to Miami, some new photos from atop the ship, as we just saw. And here's the normal classic picture that we usually see from the bottom of the craft. It's most common to see this because most UFO pictures are taken from the ground, looking up in the sky at a craft. This craft, again, is the newer variation of the Pleiadian crafts and is capable of time travel, which means it's not only capable of making dimensional shifts and moving from one dimension to the other, but while it's in another dimension, it can control the speed at which its particles are accelerating and move in time. Here's a close-up of the top of the craft. There seems to be some sort of almost glass-looking object on the top. We can see some red colorization and some looks like windows there. From below the ship now, we're seeing a very good shot here of the magnetic field disturbing the clouds right around the bottom of the ship. So this shot was either taken from inside of the craft, it was very close, or from not too far away, either with a zoom lens or a telephoto of some type. Here again is one of the remote crafts. This craft looks to be either like one of the 9-foot or 12-foot variety, and here's a very unusual picture of the remote ship sitting on the ground. Now, this picture was taken just a day or so after Hurricane Andrew, and a close look at the picture, you can see the debris and that the leaves are all blown off the tree and the results of the hurricane that has just passed by. This picture was taken nearby Adrien's home when the Pleiadians came, and he telepathically received a transmission from them that they were nearby, took his camera out. It is a remote craft, but it was manned by one of the Pleiadian ladies that he often has contact with at this time. And he was able to get the picture of this unusual-looking remote craft on the ground. Another of the new photos is this one here, a remarkable shot with two craft clearly visible. It appears that the picture's been taken from some distance up above the planet, looking down on the two ships and the clouds far below. We have two different types of craft here in this picture. The one we're looking at now on the left is the newer variation, which is the time travel type of ship. A very unique picture looking at it from above it to see how this unusual thing is designed. This time travel ship, of course, is one that they use to study our history. They can move actually up and down the timeline and see for themselves how events have actually unfolded. The smaller craft down on the right is the classic beam ship with a little antenna on it. The antenna works similar to our radios, but uses faster than light particles to transmit data so that the message can actually get across space in a matter of time to be useful. We can't see the planet below because of the density of the clouds, but it appears that the ship that he was in was well above it, looking down at an angle to the craft. I asked Adrien if it would be possible for us to get some video of the Pleiadian craft. The following sections are the different shots that he's been able to get. First thing we're looking at here is some night video taken just south of Miami. His girlfriend was standing in the foreground to give us some reference point. Adrian and his girlfriend were led down to this location telepathically, and when they first got there, there was one blinking craft far out over the water. They're standing on the beach. The craft appeared to be approximately about a mile out over the water. Once the camera was in position, and he and his girlfriend were ready, suddenly two craft appeared and moved around for some minutes. And then some other craft came in, and here we now have a scene of approximately, it looks like, seven or eight of them came in. This particular formation is not that unusual and has been seen in many other places around the world. As a matter of fact, down in Mexico, it's quite common at night to see displays similar to this one, where several craft may come in and put on kind of a light show and making different formations. This particular sequence right here, the craft will make pyramid shapes, as we'll see later on. It's actually kind of hard to tell how many craft are in the picture right here. There appears to be perhaps four or five of them centrally in the center there, with some sort of blinking, orbiting light going on in the middle. It's not clear whether or not that reflecting light is a craft, or perhaps just a reflection in the air of the magnetic fields around the craft combining and somehow causing some sort of light effect. Here's another craft which was high overhead, which formed kind of the peak of the pyramid shape that the craft would soon be in. All told, over the time lapse of this shot, which lasted about 15, 20 minutes, it looks to be about 10 or 12 craft were out displaying that night. Time after time, the ET seemed to come to stretch our beliefs. It's most fascinating, too, that he was able to take his girlfriend with him again. I did find out from her that it's apparently quite common for her to go aboard the craft with him and travel with him. And she told me that on a couple of occasions, at any rate, they've been able to travel to other worlds. On one particular occasion, she was taken to a planet. It was an all-water planet. And she asked why they chose this planet, and they told her that there was some sort of connection with her life and the beings on this world. She described the planet saying there was no surface land. The craft went underwater, and they were shown cities underwater where human-type people existed. They were some sort of cross between human and fish, where their skin was rather scaly, and they had gills and could breathe. She hasn't quite figured out her connection to these beings, but was told by the ETs for her to try, and if she could solve some of the mystery, that they may take her back there and help her solve the rest of it. So it appears that they have the ability to search our spiritual subconscious somehow and find out in our past where we may have lived other lives or where our spirits may have been. There may be many of us here on Earth who have lived on other worlds, in other forms, in other lifetimes. Now here in kind of a grand finality, there appears to be close to a dozen craft making sort of a pyramid kind of shape out here, and it looks to be about a mile or so out over the water. On a different occasion, Adrienne has taken the video camera out again, and three craft are overhead. The one on the bottom left will slowly move out and disappear. You can see the high gain here from the video camera as it's straining to draw in available light. This next shot, we can see the Pleiadian craft will come in very quickly and then dash off to the side. I've slowed this down so you can see it a little bit better. And here we can see it in slow motion. See the tail on the craft as it dashes in? Seems to almost dance around playfully. Stops in a position, and then zips off again. I had hoped we would get some daytime video. On one occasion, Adrian was home in the shower. He was receiving telepathic transmissions from the Pleiadians that told him they were outside. If he wanted to get some video, now was a good time. He ran out in the living room, grabbed his video camera, and started taking this video footage. He looked out the window, and there were people outside playing golf, and he had no clothes on, so he told the Pleiadians to wait a minute while he tried to get dressed. And as you can see, he's taking the video through the screen, which is throwing the focus off on the camera. The Pleiadians told him they didn't have time to wait, but they did come back later, and we have this very excellent nighttime video here. Now, here the craft at night, the energy field surrounding the craft has it illuminated in a way that seems almost magical. We can see bursts of light and energy coming off the top of the craft. And if you remember from the former daytime shots of the apartments across the way from him, you can get a good sense of what's going on here. The craft appears to be 100, 150 feet away from his patio. What was most interesting about this is when he got the telepathic transmission that they were there, he didn't see the craft outside. And he got his video camera ready, and they told him to go ahead and start the video camera. When he looked out with his naked eye, he could only see little sparkles kind of dancing in the air, but could not see the craft. Once he started the video camera, he was able to see the craft through the video camera only. At the same time he was taking video, there was also some Polaroid shots taken, some still shots of this same craft. You can see the lights in the background emanating from the apartments, which are about 2-3 blocks away. And on the still Polaroid shots, you'll be able to make these out, which were taken at the same time. Now, here's one of the Polaroids. You can see the craft in the top. And then down at the bottom, you can see the lights from the apartment buildings that are off to quite a distance. On the left, again, we can see the live video here of the craft. On the right is the Polaroid shot, and you can see the lights from the apartments in the background on both there. It's very amazing that they were able to control the line of sight so no one else was able actually to see this. Now here is an excellent sequence showing the craft actually disappearing. In earlier shots, we saw the field around the craft as it was dematerializing. Here, going frame by frame, we can see the craft actually disappearing right on the tape. The field around the craft, once again, is being powered up. The power-up then goes to a certain frequency, which reflects the light around it. The craft then just seems to disappear, although it is still there. If you were inside of the craft, you would still be able to see everything around you, but no one could see you.
That'd be cool.
Invisibility. Still again on another night, in another sequence, you can see the craft somewhere off in, far off in the distance. If you look to the center telephone pole there, there's cars in the foreground going by occasionally. And there's a craft which at the moment is hidden by the telephone pole, but will now move slowly to the left. They kept the craft some distance on this particular shot, so there would be plenty of images in the foreground. And then again on another night, the craft came back again. And once again, you can see the apartment buildings down at the bottom, just as we did in the shot before. And very high up in the air, we can see the craft up there blinking. Now, and still again, a different sequence. It's 10:03 in the evening. He has his video camera set with the timer and the date on. You can see that it was October 20th at 10:03. And he's zoomed his camera back so you can see the distance at which he has taken the picture. The craft is quite a ways out in the distance, probably a half a mile away. And now it's 10:07 on the camera. We have one large craft just over the homes, and another one is slowly moving across in the top of the frame. This contact now started at about 10:03 and will last for almost 50 minutes. Here's a very unusual strobing effect coming off the bottom of the craft. The craft appears to be kind of a normal beam ship type, and we do not know what the strobing effect was for. Perhaps they were just doing it for display to make it stand out. These shots here are taken from Adrienne's home on the patio. You can see a couple of cars driving by there, just well over the homes in the distance. He's receiving some telepathic transmissions from him at this point, and just about right in here they've offered him to get into the car, and they're going to move the craft in different parts of the city, allowing him to photograph it in different areas. And now we're watching at 10:14, still on October 20th. He was also told that that particular night they were having contacts in different places on the Earth. Apparently on October 20th there was something about the magnetic field of the planet itself which facilitated having contacts that evening. He was told that they had three other contacts in Cuba that evening. We are not told who it was with or what kind of contacts that they were. But something about the magnetic grid of the planet that particular even facilitated them making the interdimensional change, and so they did. Now watch this one. We're now outside in the car. He's parked his car on the freeway, and they've directed him to drive to different parts of the city. Here the craft is moving over the Miami airport. He's stopped alongside of the road, and the craft is, as you can see, is moving slowly right over some buildings over the Miami airport. Now about 10 minutes have passed, and they've directed him to another area. Once again, he's in his car, looking out through the windshield, and the craft is off in some distance. We're now at 10:53 on the same evening. Cars are going by in the foreground, and the craft is off some distance here. We can see it through the trees and behind some sort of signpost. Now the craft is moving, following him down the freeway. He's driving about 50 miles an hour, holding the camera up, trying to get the shot as best he can. And he didn't shoot a very long video segment here. I would imagine that he was probably concerned about having an accident. Now here we've slown the image down so you can see it actually go behind the trees. It's off to the left of the freeway. It's a short sequence here, only lasting about 10 seconds, but you can see it's moving behind the trees off some distance and going behind known objects. If someone wanted to fake this, it would take quite a job, quite a crew to do this. This would be worthy of a good movie-making crew. They would have to get some helicopters, suspend a very large illuminated object, swing it along at about 50 miles an hour off to the side of the freeway. But then, of course, a lot of people would see it, because that would be quite easy to notice. But here, in this unusual sequence, no one saw it but him, and he was able to get this exciting video, almost a car chase down the freeway. Here in slow motion again, we're rocking the back frame by frame, and you can see the ship as it moved behind the tree, behind a known object, and I've moved it back so you can see. So we definitely have a craft, approximately 21 feet in diameter, we're told, and it's off to the left of the freeway. It looks like probably about a block or so, perhaps maybe about 1,000 feet, and it's dancing along the freeway, following the car at about 50 miles an hour. So the Pleiadians apparently are allowing more and more photos. They're allowing more video, better video. They're allowing his girlfriend and other friends to see the craft. So they seem to be stepping things up here in America. The Pleiadians believe that by stimulating the beliefs and consciousness of a few of those of us in America, we can provide the kind of leadership and role modeling that can make a difference in the world. You see, it's one thing for the Pleiadians to come here and help us, but this is our planet. It's time for us to become 100% responsible for ourselves and our world. It is up for us to create the kind of future that we want and the kind of world that we want to live in. When the Pleiadians view our society here on Earth, over 5 billion of us alive right now, what they see is a planet that is out of control. They see a civilization that has no respect for itself or its planet. They don't intend to become involved in our political or our power structure. They are not here to save us. They are not here to change our society. They are providing us a certain measure of education for those that are ready, so that on an individual basis we can raise our own spiritual consciousness. It is hoped that we may find a way to create a new future for ourselves here on Earth through this education. The Pleiadians are not going to do it for us. We are ruining our planet. We are ruining our atmosphere. The Pleiadians for several years have been taking certain key people here on Earth back to their home planets and educating them. There are communities on Pleiadian planets of people from Earth learning. It is expected within about a 20-year time frame that these people may return to Earth and provide a new kind of leadership and role modeling here that may provide a new future for us here on Earth. The greatest event in our history is unfolding before us right now as we come in contact with the family of man throughout the universe. We are fortunate that these visitors from the Pleiades have chosen to gently awaken us to the knowledge of their existence. If they suddenly filled the skies with their spacecraft or landed on the White House lawn, the majority of the people on Earth would probably fall into panic and confusion. Others would worship them or expect them to bring us the long-awaited peace. Governments might fall or lose control as people begin to think of themselves as citizens of Earth rather than of any particular country. Reactions would vary, but one thing is for sure. The Earth would never be the same because the knowledge that they bring about science, life, and philosophy could have a devastating effect on our social, economic, religious, and political structures. Too much information too fast could overwhelm a world that is used to making changes slowly. As our neighbors from another world come to visit, it can also be a wonderful time of discovery. There's the possibility to learn from them, change the way we live on Earth, and create real peace among men. Their knowledge can be used to enlighten our world so that we can resolve the differences that separate us here on Earth and prepare us to fit in with the universal family of man on other worlds. Up to now, the many different races on Earth have been unsuccessfully trying to learn to live together and come to terms with the many different ideologies and social customs. Through contact with the Pleiadians, we are forced to examine ourselves through the revelations of a higher intelligence and hopefully move to a new level of awareness that can facilitate the peaceful coming together of the many nations on Earth. We must become aware that all living things are part of the same creation, that there is an interconnection that binds us all together, something like a network of consciousness that I refer to as spiritual bonding. As we think, our thoughts run across the network and affect all of the life forms that are connected to it. Spiritual growth is the forming of logical thinking that is harmonious with the laws of creation. When you have perceived something correctly, with great clarity of thought, and understood it to the point that it has become part of your life, dictating your actions, the wisdom learned from the experience contributes to your spiritual growth and goes with you from lifetime to lifetime. In order to control your spiritual growth, you must learn to take 100% responsibility for your own actions, thoughts, and deeds. I'd like to take this opportunity to give a special thanks to Adrien for his courage and to the Pleiadians for being concerned enough about a few people on a small blue planet to offer us a helping hand. My name is Randolph Winters. Thanks for your interest.